Previously on the Tony Kornheiser Show.
And I'd walk by these women deeply inhaling Viceroy's and saying words like soap and bam and crack. And it's always stayed with me. It's a game with tiles. It seems impossible. Yeah. Impossible.
Yeah. It is mind-bending. I don't understand it. I know all those words, at least you just said.
Yeah.
Look, here's the thing. I don't want to kvetch, but if this chick thinks she's going to use this syrup to turn this boy into a bubby, she's mashugging it to him.
This is so great. Five words just rattled him off. That was so great.
The Tony Kornheiser Show is on now.
All right, Mr. Tony, you can talk now.
All right, the reason Nigel said that is because we are not just social distancing, we are podcast distancing. And I can't hear the music where Nigel is. Nigel is in the studio, and I'm in my dining room. The dog is here. You will hear the dog later. Not on command. The dog will just start barking, and you'll hear it. As we always have, I have the Today Show on, but I have the Today Show on in another room with a little bit of sound. And I'm doing this. I'm doing the podcast primarily because I want to, right? I want to do the podcast. But I'm also trying to be cognizant of what everyone is being asked to do, if they can, which is to stay home and avoid social interaction. Avoid work if you can work from home. So I'm working from home. I'll tell you, I was thinking about, should I tell people what I'm wearing? But they don't know what I'm wearing when I'm doing the podcast. But for anybody who cares...
I'm assuming it's a bathrobe, right?
I got a Nats t-shirt on and a pair of blue golf pants to remind me that I can't play golf all week because Columbia's closed. Because every place that I would go is closed. And I want to do the podcast today because we had all this news. We had sports news. We are likely not going to have any sports news, honestly, maybe for months. We're not. And so I thought, well, we got all this free agency stuff. Let's talk about that. Let's bring in Jason Lockenfora, who's the best football guy in the world, but let's do it by being responsible and not being with each other. If you watch the Today Show this morning, if you have, you'll see that Savannah Guthrie is in her basement. Al Roker is at his home. All the correspondents that they have seem to be in their own homes, unless they're out on a particular story. Tom Costello is in his own home in Maryland. So I figured I would do this too. I would stay in my own home. You need to understand that I know you're thinking, well, you know, this is a lark for him. In the sense that I can afford this financially, it's sort of a lark. And I don't have young children. By the way, my adult children are both mad at me because I've left the house to go to the Safeway, to go to the pet store, to go pick up my golf clubs. My daughter is livid about this, and she's right. And I told her I'm not going to do it today. And my son said, I don't even know why you're doing this podcast. And, you know, he says, I recognize your need to do it, and I recognize that, you know, there is sports news, but I don't want you to be exposed to anything. And I said, okay, I'm gonna stay home. Now, I'm going to stay home because, honestly, my job is not essential. It's fun. I like to do it. I want to connect with the people that are hoping I'll do this to give them a little levity in their lives. I get that, and I want to do that. I really love what I do, but I'm not essential. Police are essential, and fire are essential, and now teachers are not essential because there are no schools. But healthcare people are essential, and the military people are essential. And by the way, they're in harm's way all the time because they do their job. They don't do their job in a vacuum. They do their job with other people. So while we thank them enormously for the service they do to the country, to the people in the country, and to people like us that are staying at home right now, I'm just doing this because I thought maybe people would like it. Maybe people would like it. I noticed there's a bill now, I guess, to cut people checks. Like $1,000 or something like that from the federal government. Not for people who are doing well, you know, not for everybody, but people that are living paycheck to paycheck. And that's how Andrew Yang ran, and he didn't get any votes. I mean, Andrew Yang should jump, don't you think, Nigel? Andrew Yang should jump back in and say, wait, that's my idea.
Yeah, I think he lays claim to this. I think he's actually commenting on that. He's like, hey, wait a minute, what are you guys doing? This is my thing.
I mean, if I'm Andrew Yang, I'm saying, I think I have a copyright on this, so I don't know that you people can do this. All right, the most amazing thing yesterday, from a social standpoint, is that St. Patrick's came and went and all the bars in America were closed.
Yeah.
And I don't know what... I will tell you that St. Patrick's Day at Columbia, which is an Irish Catholic country club in the main, St. Patrick's Day at Columbia is wonderful. People dress up, people toast each other, people tell stories, people gather. All that was gone. All that was gone, and it was gone all over the country. It really was. And so you say, well, why is Tony doing this right now? Okay. I'm doing it because there's actual, as I said, sports news in it, and it leads with Tom Brady. I'll tell everybody a small little story here. And Wilbon and I have been doing, we've tried to do for the last couple of days, filmed things that Eric Rydholm coordinates.
Oh, yeah.
And I guess puts on Twitter. Have you seen them, Nigel?
They're quite funny.
Yeah, so we've done a couple of those, and he writes scripts, or we just sort of go on our own. And yesterday, we didn't know we were going to do it, but the Brady news dropped. Now, not the news that he'd go to Tampa Bay. That was a little bit after we already committed to the air, and so happily we looked very stupid talking about California teams that he would go to. And Wilbon went on and on. I said, Gisele Bündchen is from Brazil. She's not affiliated with the Rams or the 49ers. And Wilbon said, the lifestyle in Brazil is very similar to Southern California. And then in an hour, of course, Brady decides he's going to Tampa Bay, and I couldn't call Wilbon back because he was on his way to Arizona to say, is Brazil similar to Tampa Bay? Does it have a lot of waffle houses? So we did that PTI thing, and we realized the reason we were doing it is there was actual news yesterday. There's a sport that is ongoing, in effect, and that's football. Football, and it's so, this Wilbon hates this so much because he hates the NFL. But the NFL is in that hammock where they're not working now, and so they can have their news without gathering, right? I mean, they don't gather at this point. They don't have to postpone everything like the NBA and the NHL and baseball. They don't have to. And so the NFL exercises its hegemony one more time. The NFL says to all the other leagues, really eat it, because we're going to go on and we're going to make news. And the news is sort of extraordinary. I mean, Brady is the cherry on top of the news, Brady going to Tampa Bay, which for people like me, and Nigel, you're a Pats fan.
Yeah.
This is, I mean, I read what he wrote when he announced he was going. I saw that Kraft said, we love you, Tommy. And I saw that Belichick said, we love you, Tommy. And Brady said, I love it there. And I thought, well, okay, then why are you going? You're a Pats fan. What do you think of this?
I think that Belichick, you know, felt that Brady was too old to win anymore. And I think that he won the argument with Kraft and said, this is the best thing for the team long term. If we commit to Brady, you know, sentimentally, then we'll lose. And that's always been the MO for this team, you know, throughout this historic run. But as a fan of Boston, I mean, you know, you wake up and you say, well, at least we still have Mookie Betts. Oh, no, that's right. He's gone as well.
Yeah, you don't have Mookie Betts.
Yeah, it's just been...
You know who else you don't have? Larry Bird and Kevin McHale are not walking through that door.
That's right. Thank you. Right? Yeah, thank you, Rick.
Yeah, they're not walking through that door. So it's an amazing thing. But other things, like quarterbacks made a lot of news. I mean, Jameis Winston now is out. He's done.
Yeah.
At Tampa Bay. Where's he going to land? We'll, of course, ask, you know, Jason Lock and Fora. Cam Newton's out.
Yep.
He's out.
Yeah, Bridgewater.
He's land in Washington and play for Ron Rivera again. The two of them went 15-1 one year and went to the Super Bowl. All right. Teddy Bridgewater lands in Carolina, forcing Cam Newton to go out. Marcus Mariota lands with the Raiders, who are going to be in Las Vegas. He's more John Gruden's style of quarterback than Derek Carr is. He's more mobile. He can do more things. Phillip Rivers, this got lost, totally lost. Phillip Rivers left San Diego to go home. Home, I believe, is in Florida.
Yeah, right around there. Yeah, Florida coast, yeah.
So he took a left turn and went north. He's not quite home. He's in Indianapolis.
It's on the way home.
It's sort of on the way home if, you know, if you're in an Uber, okay? Sort of in the way home. Now, what Rivers is betting on, obviously, Rivers has 8 home games indoors in Indianapolis. He's coming out of 20 years in San Diego. He's got 8 home games indoors in Indianapolis. He's got road games in Jacksonville and Tennessee and Houston. That's okay. I mean, he's limited. The most he can have is 5 cold weather games, and it's very unlikely he'll have 5. I haven't looked at their schedule, but that's a smart move. All of these things happen, not even mention DeAndre Jordan for some reason going to Arizona, and Stephon Diggs said, get me out of Minneapolis. How about Buffalo?
Yeah, can I go to someplace colder?
Can I go someplace equally cold? Can I go to Buffalo? So all of this stuff happened, and I thought, you know, I thought, well, I should talk about it. Now, I can't bring anybody here. I'm not allowed to. I can't bring Nigel. I can't bring Michael. We did the show the other day. It was just the 3 of us. I can't bring Gary or Jeannie or Chris or David or Tori or, you know, anybody else that sits in with us on a regular basis, because if the purpose is to sort of not do that, then, in fact, why am I doing that? So I thought we would do this way. I don't know. Nigel, do you think it'll work? I really don't even know. I don't know.
I suppose. I mean, it's working right now. I will point out, and there's a little bit of irony here, your phone a couple of times has sounded like you were underwater. It only lasted for a few minutes, or not a few minutes, for a few seconds, but I'm
on a landline. I'm sitting in the dining room. I have not borrowed Bob Ryan's cell phone or car bills.
No. So for those wondering, yes, I heard that, but you weaved in and out of it very quickly. So, no, well, listen, I mean, a bloke like Tom Brady, stepping as, you know, moving on, 6 Super Bowls, you know.
Unthinkable to me.
It's just, I mean.
Why Tampa Bay? I mean, okay, I get it. And we'll ask Jason. Tampa Bay has 2 great wide receivers. They got a tight end who's good.
Yeah, and you got Bruce Arians.
Really believes in offense.
Yeah.
But Tom Brady is to me, a sophisticate. A sophisticate.
Sure.
Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay for years was known for 2 things.
Yeah, one.
Burns Steakhouse and Mom's Venus Strip Club.
Yes.
It's not, the last word I would think of for Tampa Bay and Jacksonville, I might add, is sophisticated. So, it's odd. It's very odd.
It is. Wilbon was saying,
this is a family decision. People have to do things. They have to consult their wives.
What family? No, that's insane.
Do you think Giselle Bundchen even knows where Tampa Bay is?
No, she'll be like, just come to Brazil when the season's over, or New York, or wherever she wants to live. You know,
yeah.
She's not going to live in Tampa.
Was so wrong. I commend to people, just watch this. He's so wrong. He got everything wrong. Everything. It makes me so happy that he got it all wrong. All right, I've run out of things to say. I have no idea how long I went, but I've pretty much run out of things to say at this point.
Yeah, it's about normal time that we've,
okay,
you know.
So
yeah.
What we will do is I'll get out, I'll do a read, and then we'll call Jason Lockenfora, and we will continue the show. And then after the Jason Lockenfora segment, we'll do a little bit of news, not much, and that'll basically be the show, and we hope it sustains you a little while. So we'll do the best we can. I am Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
And now you can do the live read.
I'll do it. This episode of the Tony Kornheiser Show is brought to you by the new podcast, Go and See, hosted by Malcolm Gladwell. Produced by the team behind Revisionist History, Go and See is a 6-part series focused on Lexus and the philosophy of Genchi Genbutsu, which means go and see for yourself, an idea that stems from the belief that if you experience something yourself, you have a better understanding of people and how to create something for them. In the series, Lexus invites Gladwell to Japan to discover their unconventional thinking and processes firsthand. Find out how a Japanese tea ceremony influenced the engineering of a car window, how the sound of an engine is tuned like a musical composition to elicit certain emotions, how understanding samurai warriors' eyes led to a suspension innovation. Gladwell learns that no detail is left behind and that the car company can learn more about cars by studying people. Go inside Lexus's headquarters in Japan, ride along on a top-secret test track with a master driver, sit in the expertly designed seat that actually lowers to welcome you into the vehicle. Follow Gladwell on his journey. The show is available now wherever you like to listen. Visit Lexus.com/curiosity for more stories like these. And let me add parenthetically in this read that we have this read because Carol last night printed the readout for me.
How about
that? The first time she printed it, only like two-thirds of the sentences stayed on the page, and the others disappeared into midair. I went crazy angry, of course, because I'm a lunatic. And Carol, bless her heart, Carol printed these out until they could be read from left to right, not in the Hebraic way, in the American way, from left to right, and that was the read.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Well, Tony, I know you can't hear this right now, but if you could, you'd be hearing the Dropkick Murphys playing us in I'm Shipping Up to Boston, because I couldn't find a song called I'm Shipping Up to Tampa Bay.
Yes, yes. Okay, that makes all the sense in the world. I'm grateful for that. We're going to talk to Jason Lockenfora in seconds. I just wanted to say I've been, again, describing exactly what I'm doing. I've been watching the Today Show, and Jason, this is going to happen to you as well. Anybody who is a correspondent is either in their house or in a makeshift little studio, and it doesn't sync up, and your face gets frozen. The words keep going, but your face gets frozen. It's so crazy freaky that I don't want to even see it anymore. It gets me nuts. Jason Lockenfora joins us from CBS.
Tony, your phone.
A new daily radio show in Baltimore. What a great sense of timing to start that now.
You know, it was pretty pretty surreal when sports started disappearing as we got on the air. But given the scope of this, you know what I mean? Like, that's a price I'll pay 9 times over, 10 times over if we get on the other side of this, you know, at some point in the next few months. But it's crazy how much you take for granted. I mean, we have a calendar in our kitchen that is just jam-packed. It's like a whiteboard with 15 things each day. Like, yeah. Chloe's got this audition. Chloe has this practice for her musical. Rocco's got a travel baseball practice. Mateo's got a rec baseball practice. It's all, like, I'm not doing any of that. Like, I'm not going to any plays, you know. I'm not going to give my daughter roses afterwards. I'm not going to be coaching first base. I'm not going to be coaching third base. I'm getting off the radio at 6 o'clock and taking my kids to a field in a ghost town, and we practice baseball till the sun goes down. Like, honestly, like, that's our life right now. And everybody, you know, hopefully is being smart about this, and we get through it as soon as possible. But it is... It's bizarre, and it's touching every part of our lives. Like, I drove home the other day, and there was on the corner a sign for an open house. It's like, good luck.
Nobody wants to go in there.
I mean, people are scared to leave their own house. I'm going to go to somebody else's house that I might want to buy. Like, it really has brought everything to a standstill.
No, from what we do for a living, which is sports, it's unimaginable. You never thought that all sports would shutter. The whole country is shuttering, and it will be this way for some extended period of time. And you just hope that the government can ease the financial burdens on those who live. Thank God I don't paycheck to paycheck. So I'm hoping that will happen. You and I can at least have the luxury of talking about something that is remarkable, and it's the only sports news we're going to have for a long time, and it is NFL free agency, and the top of the line is Tom Brady. And before I ask you why he went to Tampa Bay, more importantly to me is, why do you think he left New England amid all the showering of love and affection from Belichick and Kraft to him, and from him to New England? Why did he leave?
Everyone's going to put out their statements at the end, and everyone, when they get a moment to step back from this, will realize these last 20 years have been, you know, something the likes of which I don't think any coach and quarterback will ever experience again in the history of that game. So there is immense gratitude, and there is a mutual respect. But in the moment, as this was unfolding in the last few months, Bill Belichick wasn't sending, you know, planes flying over Brady's house saying, please come back to, you know, New England. He wasn't telling the owner, don't let him leave at any cost, no matter what. Give him anything he wants, you know. Just roll over, play dead, let him rub your belly, give him anything he wants to stay. It wasn't like that. And I think Robert Kraft wanted to be the mediator and wanted, you know, his heart wanted to do whatever he had to do to never see Tommy in another uniform other than his. But I think his mind told him, man, the guy who builds this thing, you know, the orchestrator of it, it might be time to go in another direction. We talked about this a lot in the regular season. Like, if this is who they are on offense, is a 43-year-old immobile quarterback, even the greatest of all time, the guy to run it. You know what I mean? If we're transitioning to a team that our assets are on defense and we really just want to run the ball and keep it simple, stupid, and reinvent ourselves and maybe start developing a young mobile piece who can aid the run game and throw off of that, then maybe this is a natural time to leave. And if he put in the contract that he can't be franchised, and he put these voidable years in for a reason because some part of him might want to see what it's like to do it somewhere else before he could never do that again. This is before it's too late. This was the only chance to see what's on the other side of the mountain. And, you know, I think, could there have been a scenario where the Patriots just rolled out the red carpet and re-recruited him as if they were a team that didn't know him at all? Yeah, but I just don't think that's where Belichick was. And I think Kraft, at the end of the day, his mind told him, giving Tom Brady $40 million a year and trying to force a square peg into a round hole when there's some elements on both sides saying maybe this is the perfect time to leave, that ultimately carried the day. Had that meeting gone a little differently, and you know what I mean? Had he sat there with an open check and a bleeding heart and just said, Tommy, you're going to kill me if you do this, you know, I think that there was a chance that it could have gone a little differently, but I just don't think that's where everybody is right now.
Okay, so then the next logical question is, we're under the assumption that nobody goes forever. This is a one-year or a two-year deal. This is the most important year of it because he's 43 years old. Why Tampa Bay?
Well, I think we have to be real about the landscape right now. There are more quarterbacks than seats at the table. I mean, Jameis Winston, I don't know where Jameis Winston might be somewhere on a one-year, $7 million deal. Like, I don't know, or $10 million, or whatever. Like, Cam Newton, I don't want to date this, and I don't know when this is exactly going to air. But, I mean, there's a really, real legitimate chance that nobody trades for Cam Newton and he just gets cut. And that Cam Newton is an unrestricted free agent. And what is his market going to be like? There'll be three teams, and he'll be all right, but that's probably going to be a one-year deal. So, you got five of them who are probably going to go in the first round of the draft. And where's Tom Brady? Like, Tom Brady doesn't want to play in Cincinnati. Like, that's not happening, you know? So where was it ever going to be? I mean, the San Francisco thing was a media creation. Tennessee has been locked in on Ryan Tannehill, you know, who's younger and who has a bigger arm at this stage of his career and who is more mobile. They've been locked in on him since November. So, you know, it was the Chargers, who I've been talking about since October. And, you know, would the Chargers blow him out of the water? I think Miami had a little bit of interest if he fell in their lap, but they're all in on Tua and these young guys.
Right.
And Tampa, you know, was interested in Rivers, but when the Brady thing got real, why not get the GOAT? And so, I mean, Tony, I think it was really three or four teams tops, probably including the Patriots, who really were sitting there with legitimate offers and trying to make him their guy. You go to Tampa, I mean, I have a hard time seeing him in that market and Giselle in Central Florida, but it's happening, and they're loaded with pieces on offense. The only thing they don't have is a running back, and they'll get one. They're everywhere. The defense improved as the season went on. Bruce Arians is everybody's favorite cool uncle. He's a great recruiter going back to his college days. He has a sort of southern charm. He's got people gravitate to him. He can talk your ear off. He can be very convincing, and I don't think he had that many people to box out in this one. And if Tom wants to launch his media career in New York and not L.A. and the production companies and all that, then it's, you know, a two-hour plane ride or, you know, hour and 45 versus five. So,
yeah,
I get it. I just think at the end of the day, Tony, the timing of this is I don't think it's going to work out very well for many of these quarterbacks.
Now, I know that Cam Newton's going to move. But Cam Newton, just stay with me. Cam Newton is the quarterback at Carolina. Drew Brees is the quarterback at New Orleans. Tom Brady, now the quarterback at Tampa Bay. And Matt Ryan, the quarterback at Atlanta. Four MVPs.
Yep.
I don't know, and it's not, you know, I know there's going to be movement, but I don't know that we've ever seen a division with quarterbacks like that ever in history, right?
No, Cam, yeah, I mean, Cam is going to be gone, and that's Teddy Bridgewater,
right,
and then a QB to be drafted later, maybe as soon as this year. But no, it's crazy. It is. I mean, the timing of this, I just don't think, even sizing it up in November, and I think we talked about it then, I wrote a column at midseason basically saying supply and demand is going to be on the team's side. Like, there's going to be too many options. Like, I mean, somebody's going to get Andy Dalton for a four. Like, Andy Dalton can play. Like, you can do a lot worse than Andy Dalton for 1 year at $19 million. And even then, I mean, does he have to renegotiate something? Or, sorry, Copper's barking at Sam. I got you some ambient sound. So there we go. We have some degree of normalcy here. My dog is barking his ass off at 9 a.m. But, yeah, I just don't think it's going to
– Are they that close? Is Tampa Bay better than New Orleans? Are they?
I think New Orleans is a little more balanced, but I also think Tampa Bay's not done spending. And New Orleans is in a little bit of a cap crunch. And, you know, I think Tampa's probably got another trick up its sleeve.
Right.
I don't know how to handicap it. I think Tom Brady is going to play at a very high level. And he's got pieces around him that he hasn't had. I mean, you'd have to go back to the season that they sort of flirted with perfection to have these kind of weapons. But even now, it's still a little bit deeper. And so much of it is fascinating. I mean, Tom Brady's been around in one, like, everybody around him has changed. And Josh McDaniels was gone for a period of time where he was head coach in Denver and then had the year with the Rams. But otherwise, it's been, so then it was Bill O'Brien and he was running the same system. And he's had continuity of everything from the mental aspect of the game for 20 years hasn't changed. And Bruce Arians is going to be smart enough to cater a lot to Tom, but it's just going to be – I think it's going to be more different for him than he realizes. And there's going to be so many little creature comforts and things that just made every Sunday morning feel the same. That's just not going to there. But I also think this team is going to build everything around him in a way that New England just didn't. And at the end of the day, Bill Belichick's a defensive-minded head coach. His mindset for his entire adult life has been, I want to come up with things that smash offenses. Everything being equal, he's going to pick defense over offense in free agency, in the draft, and it caught up to them. And I think they reached a point where Tom's looking around like, bro, I'm 43, and you're two off seasons away from giving me half of what Mahomes has. You know, and I can't do more with less anymore. Like, that's just Father Time, I'm holding him off. But I'm not decapitating him. Like, he's over my shoulder. And if I'm going to have any chance to close this out in a winning way, I think I got to leave. And the way they lost to Tennessee, I think just put the exclamation point on all that.
So I get all that. And I guess the people in New England, in the same way that as a Washington Nationals fan, if Anthony Rendon has to go, I'm glad he goes to the other league.
Yeah.
I'm glad I don't have to see him. Not like Bryce Harper. So I get that people in New England are probably glad that he goes to the NFC. It's so hard for me to see him. I said this earlier in the show, that he's a sophisticated man, and Tampa is not a sophisticated city.
No.
So I wonder, is it something with the Glazers? Do you get soccer ownership? Is there something down the road, or is it just football?
You know, there could be. You never know. Tom, you're right. Tom is a businessman, and Tom is playing 3D chess and thinking a couple moves ahead. And I think the Glazers would have the wherewithal to realize, that he does have his eyes on things beyond football, and maybe there is something with their other business interests or other people they know or connections they have that may help him post-football career. The shocker to me is that they got, like, another part of why I couldn't see him in Tampa is because, like, you know, they had Chip Kelly for a hot second when he was the hottest thing on the planet. Remember that? And then a press release came out at 3 a.m., and I decided to go back to the University of Oregon, even though I signed a contract with these guys. Like, they thought they had Brett Favre. Like, we're ready to send the press release out. No, somehow he ended up with the Jets. You know, they thought they had John Gruden a couple years back, and Mark Davis gives him $100 million, and now he's going to Oakland and not Tampa. You know, I think they thought they had Bill Cowher years ago. I heard 3-4 years ago they came really hard after Tony Dungy and were trying to move the sun and the earth and the moon, and they fell a little bit short. So for them to get Tom bleeping Brady, you know, it was just like, you just wondered, could they close? You know what I mean? Can these guys close on something of this magnitude? They've had no success recently, and, you know, yes, they've reached the pinnacle, but it was a generation ago.
Yeah.
For all those reasons, I just was like, at the end of the day, something else is going to resonate with him more than this. But I really, again, think it was probably only a 3 or 4 horse race.
The other big news that gets buried to me is not only Philip Rivers going to Indianapolis, where his family is decidedly not from, but the opening at San Diego, a team that not this past year, but the year before was a playoff team and was a big deal team.
Yeah.
What do you make of that, and who goes there?
I remember a lot of people, after they steamrolled Baltimore in Baltimore, thought they would beat New England in Foxborough. I think they probably draft somebody now. You know, maybe it's Justin Herbert. They had success in, what, 1973 with a quarterback out of Oregon, Dan Fouts. That worked out pretty well
for
him. Had
some success there with
Fouts. Yeah, that one worked. I mean, look, Cam Newton is out there. Jameis Winston is out there. You know, I mentioned Andy Dalton. There's still, I mean, you've got an array of quarterback candidates. I just think that they're really rebooting and starting over. And I could see that, you know, they're going to have to pay Joey Bosa like a quarterback. He's not playing next year on his rookie contract. So, you know, he's a guy who's got his look, he got his eyes set on becoming the highest-paid defensive player in the game. They do have some assets on that side of the ball. They might go, you know, young and cheap at quarterback. They
right.
kept Austin Eckler. They have some weapons there. But again, I mean, if you, I'm just fascinated. Like no one's ever seen anything like this. Like guys who I really respect, who you know represent quarterbacks. When I'm like, put yourself in this agent's shoes right now with this client. You know, what do you think you're going to get? They're like, I don't know. Like, who are the teams? You know what I mean? Like, and the teams have all the leverage. Like Phillip Rivers, he got less than Nick Foles, man. Like Foles got that deal two times over. Foles got 50 plus million fully guaranteed over 2 years. This guy took 1 year, 25. I mean, he took less than the franchise tag.
Yeah.
You know, like, so what is Cam going to get? And I think Cam's better than Phillip, and I think Phillip's declining, but Cam's been hurt for 2 years. You know what I mean? And Jameis, boy, there's a lot of clay to mold, but the dude turned the ball over 40 times between fumbles and interceptions. So if Phillip's getting 25, take it or leave it. And guess what? If they pulled that offer and just went and traded for Dalton or whatever, I don't know where Phillip's going because his plan B was Tampa. That ain't happening. You know, would he be in Carolina 1 year, 12, 15, whatever, if they didn't do Bridgewater? I don't know. This is weird.
It's weird, and it is. Again, I mentioned this earlier in the show. It is the great luck of the NFL that they're in this hammock, and they don't have to stop play, and they don't have to stop free agency.
What did you think of that, Tony?
And in a world without sports, they dominate. I mean, this would have been dominating because of Brady, but it is so much more dominating because there's nothing else out there, right? This is all there is.
Do you think they should, like, I kind of have flip-flopped on this. Like, I didn't think they should do it. No one in the league wanted this to happen. They all thought, hit the pause button for 2 weeks.
No.
But the fact that it has happened, I mean, the whole, it's an escape.
It's made people happy. People have something to talk
right.
about. It's actually good. Jason, thank you so much for doing this. Please tell everybody where they can hear you in Baltimore.
Oh, thanks, Tone. You can check us out from 2 to 6 every weekday on 105.7 The Fan. You can check us out streaming on the website or on the radio.com app. They told me you can sync the app up to your Siri or whatever, so you can just say, hey, Siri, play 105.7. I don't know how to do that. I barely know how to work my phone. But anyway, we're out there. And, Tone, stay safe. Anything you ever need, brother, you let me know.
And likewise. Thank you, Jason.
Thanks,
Jason,
my friend.
We are going to come back with a limited amount of news. Yeah, we're going to be back. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
And would you like to do the other read now?
I think I would. This is a Simply Safe read, and I'm going to read it. And again, bless Carol's heart. She stayed up late at night, and
thank you,
she
Carol.
Made sure that I was able to read these things. Again, not the Hebraic way, but the American way from left to right. With home security, there are two ways you can go about protecting your home. There's the traditional way, where you wait weeks for a technician to do a messy installation that costs a small fortune. Or there's the other way, Simply Safe. Simply Safe is everything you need in a home security system. It's award-winning protection. It is the two-time winner of CNET's Editor's Choice Award. Simply Safe blankets your whole home in safety. You get comprehensive protection for your entire home. Outdoor cameras and doorbells alert you to anyone approaching your home. Entry motion and glass break sensors guard inside. You barely notice it's there. But what's truly remarkable is you can set up the system all by yourself. Anyone can do it. I'm reading that. I can't do it. Anyone but me can do it.
You might have
it
some issues.
30 minutes to an hour tops for anyone but me. And there's absolutely no trade-offs to your safety. You'll have an army of highly trained security experts ready to dispatch police to your home at a moment's notice 24/7. And it's only 50 cents a day with no contracts. It's why The Verge calls Simply Safe the best home security system. Go to simplysafe.com/Tony today, and you'll get free shipping and a 60-day risk-free trial. You're going to be in your home the next 60 days. You may as well use it. You got nothing to lose. Go now. Be sure you go to simplysafe.com/Tony. Let me spell the way, simply the way they spell it, S-I-M-P-L-I. That's simplysafe.com/Tony.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
All right, well, Tony, I know you can't hear this. But
no, I can't.
This is our band from Boston again, the Dropkick Murphys. This is a brilliant song called The Burden, and it's a live version they played at WBCN. So it's just, it's fantastic.
Well, it's got to be, as I said earlier, it's got to be a lot better than these Skype things that are on television now where people's faces freeze and the words just keep coming, and you say to yourself, is this the best that people can do? And in fact, it is, because everybody, you know, is supposed to stay home if they can stay home. And it's fine for a little while, you know, it's fine for a little while, but people are going to run out of money, and the federal government is going to have to basically give people money.
Yeah.
They're going to give people money. They're going to have to put the military in the place of the police and let the police do, you know, all the other... It's just, this is not... Oh, gosh, I'm not an optimistic person by nature, and this gives me reason to go crazy. Not to panic or anything, because I do think that our food, we do have food. It's just, can you get it to people? Do you have the drivers? But we've got all of that. But all the people to whom people owe money are going to have to say for a while, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. This is a crisis the likes of which America has never seen, because America's seen war crises, but they haven't seen this. So anyway, what have we got?
Well, we do have a bit of news, you know, just like the coronavirus is going to shift people, the money that they owe and the people collecting all that, it's shifting the schedule for a lot of things. We'll start out with just the IRS. The IRS has extended the deadline now by 90 days. From that April 15th. Yeah, and that makes sense, because if you still needed to go over your taxes, you need to meet with your accountant, maybe you're not able to do that right
now.
You're
not.
Yeah.
You're not.
So,
I mean, you're going to have to do it by phone. It's not quite the same thing.
Right.
No. Now what? Now listen, I'm drinking water.
Oh, there you go.
I'm drinking water because everybody is supposed to stay hydrated. And I got this very bad news from both my daughter and my friend Steve. Said you can't drink much. It hurts your immune system. I go, well, wait, I can't drink much. Like, wine I can't drink? No, you can't drink much. Bad for me.
That is bad. What were you supposed to drink then? Would they say anything about ice cream?
I don't know. I'm going to weigh 250 when this is over.
Well, it's the other thing. You can't go to the gym. You know, gym is like the biggest germ factory of them all.
No,
so, but it's nice to see the IRS, your IRS, who don't always seem to be the most reasonable lot of people, to be like, yeah, we've got to change this. So, yeah, lots of things getting shifted. The PGA Championship, that's postponed. That was going to be in San Francisco.
Which is a hotbed for this. But you know what? Everything will be a hotbed in 20 minutes. So, yes, they've stopped it. That was at Harding Park, a public course. They stopped it for a while.
Have you ever played that course?
I've never. Wilbon has.
The Euro Cup and the Copa America have both been postponed for a year.
Yeah, so I don't care at all about soccer, I don't, but we were getting 3 weeks off in June because of the Euro Cup. we were going to be off.
Right.
And now we're off now, you know, I don't really know what's going to happen there.
Yeah, so. I mean the Olympics coming up about a month after that.
Oh, I don't know. I know they keep saying,
yeah,
we're going to have it, no problem, but it's just so hard to believe that they're going to have the Olympics. So hard to believe.
It really does.
There's no air travel. You know, if you're afraid of people in other countries bringing it here, why wouldn't you be afraid of people from here bringing it there?
Yes. No, it just, I mean, the only way this really works is if people really shut down, and that's the exact opposite. It's everybody from around the globe, you know, getting together.
That's
so,
not going to happen.
I can't see why.
All of that nonsense about the celebration of kids, that's not going to happen.
It's for the kids, Mr. Tony.
The kids don't suffer from it. They recover quickly, but you can't have it.
Yes.
You can't have it.
Now, September looks like it is going to be a very interesting month. I mean, we'll have the NFL, college football. We expect both of those to be back up and running. Baseball, And now it looks like the French Open is going to be postponed from September. It'll be played September 20th to October 4th. So that's just a few weeks after the U.S. Open.
Yes, and 2 weeks after. That presumes that the U.S. Open will take place on schedule and that people really want to do that. That'd be fun if you're a tennis person to watch the difference between hard courts and clay within a minute.
Right.
But, like, what's going to happen? Is Wimbledon off the docket already?
No, Wimbledon has not.
Late June, early July.
That's early July, and they have not shifted that yet, but I would imagine they're having some very serious discussions about it. And I think, like you said, you go from the U.S. Open hard court to a clay court major championship, they usually have all these tournaments for weeks, you know.
Yeah,
that
lead up to it.
Yeah, so they can get used to the different surfaces. And if I had to guess, and I will be working at the U.S. Open again this year, I expect to, I would think that will be very difficult to pull off at that time as well.
Kentucky Derby has been postponed.
Kentucky Derby will also, that's going to be September 5th. So
everything, September, if it's terrible now, but September, if we're all alive, is going to be very good.
Yes. And this is something there are so many things that you say, well, I never thought I would see that. And this one just jumps out at you. All of Nevada's hotel casinos have been shut down.
It's just, that is the only economy in the state of Nevada.
Yeah.
That's it, casinos. That's why people go there. To shut them all down in response to this virus, because of the gatherings and because of the revelry, it makes all the medical sense in the world. We think that what's going to happen is, if in 10 days there's no sense that this is working, people are just going to say, well, it's the end of the world, let's open up the casinos.
Right, come in and gamble, because we've got nothing to lose now anyways.
No, I mean, it's going to lead to terribly irresponsible thinking, because to get you to buy into what we're all doing now, which, again, and I would go, I'd walk to the ends of the earth if Anthony Fauci was walking next to me.
Sure.
But to get you to buy into this now, it has to have some results. Not necessarily in a week or 10 days, but within a month, Fauci's got to be able to get up there and say, we think, not that it's going to stop, but we think we've slowed the spike a little bit. And we think we are prepared for it now, right? Isn't that what we're hoping for?
Oh, yeah. I mean, right now, the thing they keep saying right now is that it's still going up. Like, we haven't peaked yet.
Oh, we're not close to peaking.
Right.
No.
So you just want that sort of, like, leveling off and then starting to go back down towards the, you know, towards the other side of this.
Right.
And you're right. I would think within a couple of weeks, if we start to see that, then people will start to breathe easier.
I think that it's hard to even imagine that it's going to happen in a couple of weeks. Really, and I'm not a doctor. Well, I am a doctor.
Well, you are a doctor,
kind
yes.
Of doctor. But I hate being home and not working, but I'm in that target age group. Me,
yes.
Cindy Boren's getting close.
She's almost there, but
I'm in it.
Yeah, you are in it.
I'm in it. What else we got?
Kevin Durant among four Nets
yes.
players to test positive for the coronavirus.
Now, again, from everything that you see on television, young people under 40 will have this, will sometimes be totally asymptomatic, as Kevin Durant is. It'll go through their systems, and it'll have no particular effect. The danger is that they carry it, and they don't know they have it, and that's why we're home, because you don't know who's got it right around the corner,
right,
even in your own house. And Kevin Durant, you think that Kevin Durant would have hugged Steph Curry like that when they had that game if Kevin Durant knew? No,
no.
He wouldn't have.
Right, and you see these stories of kids that have gone, because it's spring break right now, so there's all these photos and videos of kids just flocking to the beach in Florida to enjoy spring break, because as you said, they're young, they don't necessarily feel the effects of this, but
right.
Unwittingly they're carrying this thing around
and spreading
it everywhere.
It's not, and I stress this, and I'm not the smartest person in the world, it's not blue, and it's not green, and it's not brown. You can't see it.
Mm.
There's not a spot where you go, I'll avoid that, and I'll be fine. You cannot see it. You don't know. So that's why there is all this relative isolation. There is.
Yes.
Although in my neighborhood, and I'm sure in every neighborhood, more people have dogs than I ever imagined. And more people are walking those dogs than I ever imagined. Anything else in news?
I just want to say it's a great time to be a pet, because there are a lot of owners spending a lot of time with their pets right now. Just one final thing. Oh, and for anyone wondering where I am, because, you know, I'm out and about, I'm safe. I do an internship at the CDC, so I'm just broadcasting from there, if anyone wants to know. And this would seem like it might have been a big story, but it really isn't anymore. Joe Biden just crushed Bernie Sanders last night, winning in Florida, Illinois, and Arizona. And this is now at the point where the phrase has come out about Bernie Sanders' campaign. He is reassessing where things stand, which is always...
It's going to be Joe Biden, and it's going to be Donald Trump. And, and it's going to, we hope, be in November. We hope that there'll be a corner turned on all of those things, hopefully much sooner than November, but certainly by November. And so I will read this part and then get to the end here, which is, I don't know if we met the three batter minimum, but that will do it for us today. I want to thank Jason Lockenfora of CBS Sports for coming on. I want to thank today's sponsors, Simply Safe and the podcast Go and See, hosted by Malcolm Gladwell. Remember, you can listen to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, and radio.com. If you get the show through iTunes, please leave us a review. I don't know when the next time we're going to do this. I know a lot of people love to hear it, and I love to do it, but to do it without news is crazy. Maybe we'll put together a panel discussion where we'll call out to people like Richard Justice or Tim Kirkjian, you know, or somebody, Brian Windhorst, people who are displaced and they don't have sports to talk about, and we'll find out how they're coping. We could maybe do something like that. I don't want to promise, and I don't want to give you a date because I absolutely don't know, but it's been wonderful to do this, and I hope everybody enjoys it. See you. I almost forgot. If you're out on your bike tonight, do wear white.
If I wish one of your guys had children, if I could kick them in the head or stomp on their testicles, for you could feel my pain, because that's the pain I have waking up every day.